If you all stand, the scripture is Luke 12, verses 1 through 5. It'll be up on the wall if you want to look on the wall. Luke chapter 12, verse 1 says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people," that means a great number of people, "insomuch that they trod one upon another, he," being Jesus Christ, "began to say unto his disciples," first of all, what did he say to them? "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. That's what he told them. "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you," and he calls them friends, "my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body." Oh, don't be afraid of anybody that can kill your body. "And after that, have no more than they can do." All they can do is kill you. Don't be afraid of them. "But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed have power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." You may be seated. This is a message that deals right smack with this. Don't fear those that can heal your body. And that's all they can do. Now, who is he talking about? He just said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." But you fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. I say, fear him. The Pharisees were a powerful religious sect who saw themselves as successors of Ezra. They felt responsible for preserving, interpreting, and teaching the law. But the law to them was not just the books of Moses as revealed by God in the Old Testament, but also the oral law, or the tradition of the elders, that Jesus referred to as their traditions, which led them into obsessions over small facts rather than the heart and the essence, that's the weightier matters, of the law. Jesus told his disciples of the hypocrisy of these people and promised that their works would be made known. I think now they're made known. I'm going to tell you what happened. He reassured the people not to be intimidated by these puffed up ones who proclaimed themselves the righteous authority. Now, Phariseeism is modern day what? Judaism. They say that themselves. The Jews say that. My question is, should we be afraid of the modern day Pharisees? What can they do besides kill us? But shouldn't we be afraid of Jewish influence? We should fear our own God. The people who killed our Savior are laying the framework to kill us. Now, Matthew 23, verse 13 is an interesting scripture. It's the chapter of all the woes he said to these people. I don't understand how Judeo-Christians can read this chapter and not come up with this. "But woe unto you, Chinese, Japanese, no, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, neither go in yourselves, neither suffer. The word suffer just means permit. Neither permit ye them that are entering in to go in. So they're not going in the kingdom. And they're keeping people that are going in from going in. Now, in last week's sermon by Mark Dent, it was a great sermon. It was a fantastic sermon. It was a long sermon, but it was a great sermon. He said the following. Here's what he said. Don't underestimate this becoming a reality if we are going dark, really dark, in the near future. Because there is already a law on the books called the Noahide Laws, Public Law 102-14. It was signed into law by George H.W. Bush in 1991. So that's about 23 years ago. With the penalty for breaking three of these seven laws being what? Capital punishment by beheading? That means chop your head off. Two of these Jewish laws attack fundamental Christian beliefs directly. And then he quoted Revelation 24. The souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God and those who had worshiped the beast or his images. I said, what are these? I've heard of them, but I never really did much study about them. So, what laws are these that say they can behead us? How did this even happen? How did the bill pass the House of Representatives and the Senate, and then it was signed by the President of the United States, and this happened in what year? 1991. I was alive then. So what did I do? I got on Randa's computer and I Googled it. I was amazed what I found. The first thing I found was an article about the Noahide Laws that was written by a member of the House of Representatives when it was passed. He was a member of the House from 1979 to 1992. His name was Bill Dannemeyer. I later in the week discovered he is the husband of who? Lorraine Day. I've heard of Lorraine Day for years. She used to be the head of a health department at the University Hospital, some hospital in California, when she discovered that AIDS was originated by the government. And they sent their agents over there. They actually told her to get out of the hospital. They interviewed the people, your staff. Some people, that does not work. So she started studying and investigating. She basically found that our government is run by the Jews and basically lies to us all the time, 9/11 and all this stuff. I knew her from the work that she did in the health field, because she was, that's what she was in, with cancer and all the other deadly diseases. By the way, she denies the 6 million Holocaust. She's very outspoken. Well, this is her husband. I was shocked. Her husband, who was a congressman when the bill was passed. Now, I don't know when they got married. I don't know what happened there. But they're now married. He said it was passed by unanimous consent, quote unquote, unanimous consent. He said this was a euphemism for getting a bill passed under the radar. So anytime you hear unanimous consent, they're sneaking something in. You know, he knew nothing of the bill that was passed until years later. And he's a member of the House who supposedly voted for it. He knew nothing of it. It was actually a four-person vote. What? The other 431 members of the House of Representatives was sent home and didn't know of the 4-0 unanimous vote. It was unanimous of the 4 members who were there. What? This is usually done when almost no one is present to vote and there's no record of how they voted or who voted. On the day the resolution was passed, the entire membership of the House of Representatives had already been dismissed after having been told that the day's work, including all the voting, was over. And after all the members had left, it was then that the traitorous, calls them traitors. I used to call them traitors too. The traitorous members brought it up for a vote on the House floor with how many people present? 4. It was deceitfully, now you hear that, deceitful? It was deceitfully passed by unanimous consent by 4 members of the House of Representatives on March 5th, 1991. He went back and he did some research because he was a former House member. He got into the right places. He found out who the 4 members were. The first one was Robert Mitchell of Illinois, a chief sponsor for the deceptive birthday celebration for the leader of the Leibovitz movement, Rabbi Schneerson. Jewish lobbyists were successful in enlisting the minority leader to sponsor this resolution. The second person, you probably heard of him. If not, you heard of what happened. He was Tom Ridge of Pennsylvania. He was the first head of the Homeland Security. And when that ended, he was appointed to be on the committee for the investigation of the Virginia Tech false flag shootings. Well, they must have a lot of stuff on this guy. He was also governor of Pennsylvania who lied about the airplane wreckage in the rural area. He said the plane number 73, this is 9/11, plane 73 that crashed in Pennsylvania into a little 10-foot hole. With no proof at all, no airplane parts, luggage, nothing, no passengers, nothing. It was an airplane that crashed into it. That was Tom Ridge. Number 3, Benjamin Gelman of New York. He was a Jewish member of the House who spoke briefly at the quick session of the House. It took about 4 minutes. And the great state of Ohio, Tom Sawyer, the person who asked for the unanimous consent. Well, 2 days later, March the 7th, the United States Senate passed a resolution by a voice vote so there could be no recorded vote. I don't know how many senators were there. I don't know. On March 20th, 1991, the President, George H. Bush, signed the resolution in the bill. It seems very similar to me how the Canaanite Jews passed the Federal Reserve banking bill. Same scenario. They probably just copied it for what they did. Well, here's the bill that they passed. The first part's all the resolution. I'll go down to where it says the joint resolution. To designate March 26, 1991 as Education Day USA. What is Education Day? These deceitful little squirts. Here's what it says. Whereas Congress recognizes the historical tradition of ethical values and principles, what they say, which are the basis of civilized society and upon which our great nation was founded. If I asked you, I'm sure Mark knows, maybe some others know, but you ask the average American, what are the Noahide laws? Noahide laws, hard to say. Noahide laws. They couldn't even tell you. Whereas these ethical values and principles have been the bedrock of society from the dawn, that's the beginning, the dawn of civilization, where they were known as the seven Noahide laws. Whereas, without these ethical values and principles, the edifice of civilization stands in serious peril of returning to chaos. So without these laws, you go to chaos. Whereas society is profoundly concerned with the recent weakening of these principles that has resulted in crises that beleaguer and threaten the fabric of civilized society. Whereas the justified preoccupation with these crises must not let the citizens of this nation lose sight of their responsibility to transmit these historical ethical values from one distinguished past to the generations of the future. Whereas the Labovitch movement, what's that? Has fostered and promoted these ethical values and principles throughout the world? Whereas Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, leader of the Labovitch movement, oh, that's who he was, the leader of the Labovitch movement, is universally respected and revered. On his 89th birthday, falls on March 26, 1991. I never even heard of this guy. Whereas, in tribute to this great spiritual leader, did Jesus say, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees? Of this great spiritual leader, this Rebbe, his 90th year will be seen as one of the education and giving, the year in which we turn to education and charity to what? Return the world to the moral and ethical values contained in the seven Noahide laws. And, there's more, whereas this will be reflected in an international scroll of honor signed by the President of the United States. Well, he's already signed it, 1991, and other heads of state. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled that March 26, 1991, the start of the 90th year of Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, leader of the Labovitch movement, is designated as Education Day USA. The president is requested to issue a proclamation calling upon the people of the United States to observe such day with appropriate ceremonies and activities. Wow. I read that. I was shocked. What a dark time. Mark was right. Very dark. Oh, this is sinister. These seven Noahide laws are really, who's supposed to keep these? We'll find out. And what are the seven Noahide laws? The Labovitch movement mentioned in this bill began in the late 18th century and is the largest branch of the Orthodox Hasidic Judaism. That's Edomite Jews. One of its prime goals is the what? Enforcement of the Noahide laws on all humanity. So, since the late 70s and the administrations of Ronald Reagan, oh, he was not a good president. And Jimmy Peanut Carter, oh, he was terrible. Reagan and Carter, the United States Congress has been promoting the Talmudic Noahide law. The Talmudic
Noahide laws. The Talmudic Noahide laws. They're promoting the doctrine of the Pharisees.
It all started when Michael Mendel Schneerson, the leader of the Chabad Levavitch movement, declared 1977, that's 14 years before the president signed it, to be the year of education. At that time, he began calling on Congress to establish an education day on the American calendar. Congress did institute this education day in 1978, and from that year onwards, the proclamations from successive presidents became more and more focused on the Noahide laws. Until in 1991, when we received the following proclamation, which became federal law under George Bush Sr. See, they take time. Slow at first, they keep adding, and they get what they want. The language of the resolution speaks for itself. But the consequences of their adoption is that the seven Noahide laws have been recognized by the Congress of the United States and the President of America as what? The bedrock of society from the dawn of civilization. That's what it said, right in the bill. And the claim will be made that they are now the law of our land, the United States. Most Americans would be shocked to learn that the Babylonian Talmud, not the Old Testament, but the Babylonian Talmud is the holiest book of Judaism. And it is the source of the seven Noahide laws, which provide a specific penalty for violating any of those seven Noahide laws, namely, death by decapitation. You get your head chopped off. I wonder who rules. Who's the court? The United Nations has developed into an organization to fulfill the Noahide Code. The United Nations is now saying that they have pledged to keep the laws of Noah, and that observance of the laws are required in order to fulfill the vision of the United Nations. So the United Nations, which is our world government, is going to enforce the Talmudic law on its member states, which means everyone. There's also the United Noahide Council headed by President Billy J. Dial. Billy's an ex-FBI agent who takes his orders from Jerusalem. They advocate that the judges of the Noahide laws have to be graduates from a Jewish school in Israel. The Sanhedrin had 71 members. Did you know they just created a new Sanhedrin? How many members does it have? 71. These 71 Kabbalists, they're cultists of the worst kind. They use the letter of their alphabet to summon demonic powers. They recently reestablished themselves in Jerusalem. So we have the 71 members of the Sanhedrin in existence today. Now, they talked to the Vatican. What? The Jews talked to the Vatican to be the ruling body over the world religion, even inviting the Vatican to move their headquarters of the world religion to Jerusalem. Now, the Vatican is in agreement of the seven universal laws for non-Jews. This is for all non-Jewish people. Here they are. That was nowhere in the proclamation signed by the president. Belief in God, do not worship idols. That's the first one. Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Number two, respect God and praise Him. Do not blaspheme His name. That's all right. 3, respect human life, do not murder. 4, respect the family, do not commit immoral sexual acts. Respect others' rights and property, do not steal. Creation of a judicial system. I wonder who's going to be on that judicial system. We already saw the Sanhedrin's back in business. Pursue justice. Here's an interesting one. Respect all creatures. Do not eat the flesh of an animal that is still alive. Well, I'll tell you, that's a very easy one to keep. Here's what some famous people said about this. With further recognition by other nations and international courts. Oh, further recognition by other nations and international courts, the 7 Noahide laws should become the cornerstone of a truly civilized international legal order, unquote. There's the person who gave it, Dr. Ernest Easterling III. Look at this. Know anybody who's a Judeo-Christian? Look what this rabbi says. There's no such thing as a Judeo-Christian. All of these philosophies are alien to what? Judaism. But make up a vast part of that Christianity. Let us not be so stupid as to get intertwined with this respected way of life. That was by the rejected way of life. Rabbi Jacob Steinberger from The Awakening, The Jewish Voice, August 4th, 1961. The Jews telling you what most American Christians are is absolutely not true. The non-Jews today who follow Christianity, well, that's us. We follow Christianity. Or there's non-Jews who follow Islam. And many other religions are not for the most part, what? Righteous non-Jews who will inherit the world to come. So the Jews say, we're not righteous. We're not righteous enough. Oh, remember scripture? If your righteousness is not more than the righteousness of who? Remember what Jesus said? Remember that verse? They're saying we're not righteous enough. They're the righteous ones. Oh, Jesus had a battle. He battled these people. And our people, they have them up there at the pulpit telling about the Old Testament. That belongs only to non-Jews who carefully observe the 7 laws of Noah, including following the authority of the Oral Torah and the rabbis. This is what the Talmud says. The 7 laws of Noah correspond to nearly 60 of the 613 laws given to the Jews. Now here's their Encyclopedia Judicia. Says that under the prohibitions of blasphemy, murder, theft, Noahides are subject to be greater legal restriction than Jews because non-Jewish society is held to be more prone to these sins. Well, the non-Jews are more sinful than the Jews. Gee. While the Christians do generally accept, here's a very important paragraph. While the Christians do generally accept the Hebrew Bible is truly coming from God. Those who accept the so-called divinity of Jesus Christ are idolaters. What do you expect a Jew to say? They hate Jesus Christ. They murdered him. They killed him, not the Romans. They killed him. According to the Torah, which is what? Punishable by death. And they certainly will not enjoy the world to come. They will be condemned to death by who? The Sanhedrin. With just one witness.
And it could even be a false witness.
And then executed by the guillotine. Now, Almighty God never said you can't convict anybody on one witness. There has to be at least 2 or 3 witnesses. The Vatican also agrees that the anti-Christian Jew, that's what they are, anti-Christ Jews, will be the moral authority that governs the so-called Noahide laws. Catholic Church says the Jews will govern it. The Pope has called these Jews the chosen of God, and that they are innocent of the murder of Jesus Christ and his apostles and the members of his church. Well, that's a big false church, isn't it? The Vatican and the United States government potentially gives the Jews the legal right to imprison and to condemn to death Christians as idolatry for worshiping a false god. How about that? That was quite a sermon last week. I'm sure Mark could have, he did have time to get into it. Now the Ukraine's in the news, isn't it? Ukraine has always been one of the most anti-Jewish nations in the world. For centuries, the money-lending Jew, let's see, remember how Jesus Christ whipped them and overthrew their tables? I guess he didn't like them very much, did he? Were allowed to be like a blood-sucking what? Vampire! All these movies about vampires depicting the Jews sucking the blood, the money right out from us on the Christian peasants. Poor little Christians will blood suck all their money from them. So the anti-Jewish runs deep in the region and has valid historic roots. The Ukraine was the place where the Ashkenazi Jews once resided. It was there they changed their religion from paganism to Judaism. It was also where the 10 tribes, where they went through, the Caucasus Mountains. See, different times you got different people living in the same place. All this has been hushed up. And people are expected to believe that anti-Jewishism is a pathological condition. Jews are portrayed as a race of spotlessly innocent victims, always being scapegoated by bigots. In short, hatred without a cause. Oh, you're anti-Semitic. The Jewish beast system wants to rule the world. How can they do this? And you know, for 1,000 years, they were silent. They had no opportunity. Why? Their father, Satan, was cast away in the pit. After 1,000 years, they have their chance. The 1,000 years of silence of this empire was from the 400s till the 1400s. This is known in history as the what ages? Oh, the Dark Ages. Seems to be a big misnomer. It was in the 1400s when the powers from the pit were released and the nations began their opportunity to crush the nations of Jesus Christ. The Canaanite Jews will, according to the prophecies of Daniel, use craft, that's witchcraft, and dark sentences, that's lies. To do what? To deceive more and more countries and lands. That's the job, deceive the nations. His empire will eventually encompass the globe. The Canaanite Jew will rule the world in the last days. You believe that? It will control the United States of America. They already do. The United States is incomparable in its power and authority. Only a handful of rogue nations now withstand the United States. Its military is stationed abroad in over 150 nations. And its Navy and Air Force encircle the globe. The NSA and CIA, its spying apparatus, keeps its all-seeing eye, that's a symbol, of watching every nation and keeping track of virtually every human being. Remember what the Dutch prime minister said? Quit listening to my phone calls. The Zionist-controlled United States is also a protector and defender of Israel. Oh, we protect them. Every politician. Israel, we'll defend Israel. It's the Khazar, Canaanite, Edomite, Jew state in the Middle East. Jewish billionaires are the wicked rulers who control the United States. They rule over its government, its economy, and its media and entertainment spheres. Israel was first founded as a nation in the year 1948. It enabled the conquest of Palestine beginning that year and went on to boost a greater Israel by invading and conquering the Middle East. One nation after another. Yemen, Iraq, Libya, Afghanistan, Egypt, Syria, Pakistan, and Iran are under attack. United States of America and Israel are joined at the hip. The neocon Jews in the United States are its hidden rulers. Many are Khazars, and they work hand in glove with Israel's Jews. As former Prime Minister Matia of Malaysia remarked, the United States is Israel's proxy. Now, I'm going to have a map of Khazaria. Look at that. You see, there's the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. Well, the Caucasus Mountains are between those two areas. That's where a lot of our relatives came from. And then later on in history, you see where it says Khazaria up there? And Georgia? That's where the Jews were. There's Kiev over there on the left. It's southern Russia. Khazaria. They were driven out of that land. They went, what main country did they go to after they were driven out of there? Poland. Poland had the most Jews in all of Europe. The next one will show another map. Khazaria, where 90% of today's Jews actually originate from. I didn't write that. There's a lot of people that know this. The Jews know it. They wrote a book about this. There's the Holy Roman Empire to the left, Hungary, the Byzantine Empire to the south. That's the Muslims, Christians. Khazaria. It's a fabulous story. Do you think God didn't know what was going to happen? He tells it in the Bible. It seems like all these countries are coming back into the news. Persia, Iran, Iraq. Babylon, all these nations are coming back into the scene. Now, wait a minute. Why did the Israelite nations, now we're talking about the real Israelites in Europe, what did they do? They kicked who out of their countries? They kicked the Jews out of the country? Why did they kick them out? Were they anti-Semitic? They kicked them out so many times, 3 and 4 times a country kick them out of the country. In 1,000 years. And what did other people say about the Jews? It can hardly be an accident that antagonism started against the Jews is to be found pretty much everywhere in the world when Jew and non-Jew are associated together. Now, I picked out some things. 325, the Nicene Creed. Quote, henceforth let us. Oh, that's false Christianity. But still, henceforth let us have what? Nothing in common with this godless people. That's what they said. All right, 337. That's when false Christian emperor Constantine made a law which stated that marriages between Canaanite Jew and a white person, which includes the Israelites, is punishable by death. And then 415, heretic St. Augustine wrote, "The true image of the Hebrew, Judas Iscariot, who sold the Lord for silver, the Jew can never understand the scriptures and forever will have been guilty for the death of Jesus." 1347, this is very interesting. "The world believed that Satan is protecting the Jews and they are paying him back by doing what?" Now, Mark's talked about this in his sermon. "They paid him back by poisoning the water the Christians drink." I had a little bit from our friend in Australia. He said, "Is that like putting fluoride in the drinking water?" I say, "It is. They're poisoning us." 1492, the Spanish Inquisition, 300,000 Jews expelled to other parts of the globe. 1496, the Portuguese Inquisition, the New World opens up for Jewish immigration and domination. They went to Brazil. They went to the Caribbean. They went to Jamaica. They eventually went to America via Brazil. In 1650, Jews were allowed back into England. That was because Oliver Cromwell let them back in. Why? Need the money. They set up the Bank of England in 1694, and that's where it began to happen, buddy. They began to get their power. The resurgence of the Edomite influence after its disappearance from the world scene for a hiatus which spans 10 centuries. What the Dark Ages. An Idenian presence in imperial government in the Pharisaical Sadducean sects, which manifested after the Babylonian captivity, had infiltrated the Roman Empire. Then, beginning at a point in time a few years after the ministry of Paul and the 12 apostles and the subsequent 2 centuries era of evangelization by their disciples, the Edomite presence as a political and religious force to be reckoned with was essentially submerged and rendered impotent for 1,000 years. In the mid-15th century, it arose from this lengthy obscurity as a new political usurious. The average Christian doesn't know that during those dark ages, they weren't charged any usury. We can tell them about usury, can't we? And taxes. must be 400 taxes we pay a year. Look at your bill. This tax. Composed of money lenders who carried favor with Christian kings and sages and rabbis, posing as oracles and proclaiming an esoteric, therefore unknown, vowel-pointed alphabet along with their own version of the Old Testament, which they vaulted as the only turned and inspired version of the Scriptures. And here Mark's taught about this one. With the adoption of this Old Testament known today as the Masoretic Text by the Roman Catholic Church, this replaced the Septuagint, the Bible used by Jesus Christ and his apostles and all Christendom for more than 1,400 years. The Jews rose again. And what was born? Judeo-Christianity was born. A few years later, the well-intentioned Protestant Reformation, which in the event proved to be an exercise in divide and conquer, destroying Christian solidarity by splitting the faith once delivered to the saints into mutually exclusive sects, all claiming to possess very truth, all using the rabbinic received texts of the Roman Catholic Church, and all at odds with each other over doctrinal issues. then substituting their theology of the false prophet reformer for the other errors of gross abuses of the papacy, came to the sanctification of usury. You talk to the average Christian, they will say that usury is excessive interest. Gee, how about 30%? Is that excessive? It's any interest charged to us. But you could charge usury to a person who's not you. I thought all people were the same. It's very confusing. You know, I heard the guy in Texas, the big Joe Osteen, he did know what he was doing, but he slammed with the doctrine of all people come from Adam. He said that when Cain killed Abel, Cain left the garden and went to other countries. I think he knew what he said. Usury banking and its international community began to exploit every nation in the world with its interest rate. Usury, previously prescribed by the Church of Rome under severe penalties, they used to be against it, was now condoned and began to encroach on the entire globe with its onerous burdens, usurpations, and national foreclosures enforced by the war-making powers of Christian kings who were themselves first suborned by usury and massive national debt. Boy, is that summing up? I quote Proverbs 22:7. It says, "The rich ruleth over the poor." Is that true today? And the borrower is, that's got servant, but it's really slave. The borrower is slave to the lender. How many of us are slaves? The nations are being marshaled together for a war which will end all wars. Those who comprise the camp of the saints, who are now sojourning towards the heavenly Jerusalem, are compassed about by deadly domestic foes. All are eagerly awaiting the denouncement of this drama for Christ's final hammer to fall. The beast system is verily unconquerable by our faithful national kinsmen. 10-tribe Israel is powerless to thwart it because the governments are very much a part of it. United States government and its NATO-EU alliance with its league with the sea beast of Revelation 13, the Zionist state of Israel. Together, these two beasts form the composite beast referred to in Revelation. United States government and the Zionist state seem to be provoking a war with Russia. Along with their puppets, the EU and NATO, they have wantonly destroyed many countries and encroached on Russian territories. Iraq, Ukraine, and Libya are three monuments of shame. Libya, earlier reduced to utter chaos by this beastly alliance, witnessed a new high in hypocrisy on April 25th when Deputy Secretary of State Williams Byrne in Tripoli warned, quote, "Libyan rulers should undertake their responsibilities in overcoming the current unrest within 2 months, or else the country will be taken over by the international community." What's the international community? It's the Jews. In a CNN interview, Victoria Nuland, the top U.S. diplomat and assistant secretary of such and such, said that $5 billion of American taxpayer money, $5 billion, to provoke terrorist violence, find a military coup, overthrow a standing government and appoint a Zionist stooge who promptly delivered Ukraine to the rapidest usurers of the IMF, the Unitary International Money Fund. This was the same thing that happened to the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and to the pigs, Portugal, Ireland, Greece, and Spain. They will do the same to the Ukraine under color of law, of course, after free and fair election of a chosen strong demonic puppet government. And Russia's reaction to this infamy is termed aggression by the Obama administration. And Iraq, having been reduced to rubble, now a lucrative profit center for the beast system, Syria is a seriously devastated country. Iran remains a plum, coveted by the beast system, but currently supported and defended by Russia. The Black Sea has become a Russian lake. Whether or not Vladimir Putin is going to prove a Judahite hero, or is a covert party in the beast system intrigue and antithesis of the Hegelian dialectic, time will tell. My conclusion. Whose rules do you want to be under? Man's or God's? That's a choice. What laws was the United States founded on? The Noahide laws that were given to Adam and Noah? The Jew says that the Ten Commandments made by God were given to them, and the seven Noahide laws to the Gentiles. They lie. The Ten Commandments said by God was given to his covenant people, the Israelites. The seven Noahide laws were made up by the men of Edom, Canaan in the Talmud. Psalm 78, verses 4 through 7. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our father that they should make them known to their children. Oh, from father to child, that the generation to come might know them, even the children who should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, oh, from parent to child to grandchild, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. 2,000 years ago, the Pharisees and their kinsmen killed Jesus Christ, and the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 70 AD. After this, the oral traditions were written down and became the Babylonian Talmud. The main goal of the Zionist Jews and their New World Order is exactly the same as it was when Jesus Christ was on the earth. What was that? Kill Jesus and his followers. They have connived at getting the seven Noahide laws passed by the Congress of the United States. Oh, I think it is getting very dark. They have revived the Sanhedrin and are awaiting their time for them to make the judgments against anyone who testifies that Jesus is the Messiah. Nothing has changed. There's nothing new under the sun. They are at it again. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.